listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, guys, welcome to another edition of Down by the Bank, brought to you by the Blue Wire Network. Derek here.
What's up, guys? It's JK3.
Corey's on an absence. He is trying to see if he can still get a hot dog for free.
the glizzy god.
Oh, man. We're never going to get a hot dog, dude. It's not good night.
Dude, so what I wish, do you remember a couple years, well, not, probably several years ago now, when Bud Light randomly put those tall coolers of Bud Light around Cleveland, and like when they opened, like when they won, they would open them or unlock them and like random bars and everybody got beers. Like, yeah. when do we hit that point?
Never.
When do we hit that point? Because I mean, we surpassed the Browns. We're in Lions territory now, or we're with the Lions. So we're treading into some awful historic territory right now.
Man, and the crazy part about it is when you look at the fun things like that, whether if it's a hot dog or a beer or whatever it is, like it just sucks the life out of you as a fan. It sucks I know it sucks the life out of me. And yeah. I'm like, come on, guys. Like,
you become a gimmick.
Yeah. Like, you get us I tell you, Con and them down there, they're the ultimate hype, man. They know how to hype up a fan base. They really know how to hype us up. But then when it comes down to the nitty gritty, we just don't have it, man. We just don't have it. And I mean, you look at the product on the field, you look at the product in the concession stands.
Oh my God. I try to give him another go again this week. And, you know, because I just try, man. I really do try to support the stadium. I try to be the good fan, you know. And again, it was just, there wasn't really anything appetizing. But then I also saw a tweet where someone, I guess they're feeling the same, you know, the same feelings that I have, because they got nachos and apparently the cheese was ice cold. So imagine it like gack, like orange gack on your
nachos. That's just bad, man. He probably had cheese with icicles in it too, something like that.
As compared to, so I know this is a Jaguars podcast, but Monday, you know, I shot up to Atlanta with a couple of my friends and caught the Braves game, and it was 1 p.m. first pitch, and the atmosphere was unreal. 1 p.m. on a Monday, nobody at work, and on top of that, the new stadium, it's northwest of Atlanta. So, like, that's no excuse. Everyone drove. The stadium was packed. The whole area that they got outside of Truist Park was insane. And the concessions, dude, it was like dealer's choice, man. I could go if I wanted, like, barbecue, if I wanted the traditional, you know, ballpark food. They had sushi. That was pretty decent. And then but I think the main meal that I had was the tacos, because I was so excited to get, like, you know, the stadium concession. But baseball concessions is like a whole nother level. You know, I got the beer bat. Yeah. I mean, even the jumbo shrimp killed the Jags as far as stadium concessions go.
Dingy.
I mean, it's true, though. It's true. It really is true that a minor league team, and the minor league teams are, you know, known for that gimmicky stuff. You go to a minor league game on like Wednesday Hawaiian shirt night, you know, you one of the first, you know, 1,000 people in there to get yourself your Hawaiian shirt. But I mean, I guess the gimmick with the Jags is on the field right now. So I don't know.
Yeah. No, the gimmick is just the bad football, man. Like, when you really sit back and think about how they have been these last, you know, few weeks, being on the doorstep. Although the score doesn't look that way, they were on the doorstep of this game, not only being highly competitive, but pulling out a victory. Because if you look at it statistically on paper, you ask yourself, how the heck did we lose this game? And there's so many different plays, so many different avenues. There's one particular situation, which I'm sure everybody has looked at, overanalyzed. I'm going to really sound off on it because it just doesn't make any sense. But you want them to do so well. And we'll start with like the quarterback situation, you know, how Trevor played and how I look at it is with the bad coaching that we've had. And yes, it's bad coaching. Okay. Bad coaching.
Yeah, we'll get into that. We'll get into that later.
Yeah. But Trevor, man, how is he improving with these coaches, man?
At the beginning and just watching him track and watching his pitch count as far as, you know, tracking him from the games, the first game he threw 51 times as opposed to today, 33 times. And I think that is a sweet spot for him. Anywhere from like 33 to 35 plays, is probably where he should be because there is still a learning curve and he is still a rookie. So I will say that as far as the improvement goes, he's been a little bit more cautious with the ball. He had the box score says that he has a pick during the game, but I don't know if it was in garbage time or not. He did have that one interception, which, you know, we as Jags fans have already come to amends that he's going to throw the picks. But I think he's been a lot more careful with the ball. I think he's been able to now throw some receivers open and throw some places open, our players open. But, you know, when he is scrambling and when the offensive line does, you know, have to eventually, you know, they've got a timing when he is scrambling. One thing I'm not seeing from the receivers is anybody working back to the ball. Like, I'm not seeing the receivers coming back and trying to bail him out for help. They're still running their routes, and he's, like, running for his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, remember, the interception was at the end of the game. I think it was, like, the last play of the game. So
last play? I was well on my way to the parking lot by then.
Yeah, the last play of the game. You know, it's funny. We end on a fumble or we begin on a fumble and then end on an interception, but – man, it really kind of just – I look at it as you've got this all-world talent, and he's like a Swiss Army knife. You can do so much with him, and you can throw a lot at him too, and he can digest it. But when you have – and where you – what was it you said earlier before we started this? Inept?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a coaching staff that make dumb decisions and do dumb things – At the most critical times, and one of those times, and it's always going to be that way. And for an NFL team, the red zone is critical. Mm-hmm. It's critical. You got to score. You know, touchdowns, checkdowns. Okay, that's what it's been preached, and everybody that's ever played, ever watched, whatever knows. You either going for six or you're going for the checkdown, so you don't turn the ball over. Okay. So you could at least get some points out of it, but you don't want to kick a field goal. Once you get inside that 20, you want points.
Right.
And that's –
well, we haven't made a field goal all year, so.
Yeah, we have, that's another thing too. But I don't know about you, but I'm sitting here like, that's like three games now where I've seen them get down in the red zone. And JK3, they're just like, oh, well, let me figure out the dumbest thing I can do to make it so hard for our team to get in the end zone. Let's have the dumbest call.
Eventually, like, when do you try to not prove that you're smarter than everyone in the NFL? Because I mean, from where I'm coming from is, you know, and I think we're talking about that first and four on the 4 yard line, and they come out in shotgun, and everyone in my section just started shouting obscenities. Like, you gotta be blanking kidding me. I can't, what are you doing? And the crazy part about it, and the one thing that I just don't understand is, like, you know, first and four, I mean, even with the Bengals game, you know, when you're down there in that area within that 5 yard lines, why is your first call not to bring in 25? Why don't you bring in James Robinson? He's averaging like 5.9 yards a carry after first contact. That's mm-hmm. after the first contact. Why are you not feeding this man the ball four straight dives in a row? Four of them. And worst case scenario, if that doesn't work, and I guess it came out this week that they're not comfortable running the quarterback option, which I don't get how you could be uncomfortable with that. Trevor Lawrence is, you know, six whatever and two whatever. he should really be able to take the ball and stretch over and just break the plane. All he's got to do is get the tip in. Just got to break the plane. You know, you break the plane and it's good. As much as video replay and everything else like that we have now, all you got to do is break the plane. Break the plane, bring it back and protect it. All you have to do. But first and foremost, you guys are running plays out of the shotgun. And anyone that's watched football long enough or knows that that end zone is the 12th defender. You can only do so much within that 10 yards or 14 yards in this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't get it.
First of all, even having Carlos Hyde in the game during that time, it's not like, oh, we needed to give Robinson, we need to give James a break. No, you didn't, because you didn't give him any carries for the first two games, so he should be fresh and ready to go. Okay, so don't right. play that. Don't play that game. And yeah, I know Hyde is a big back and all that other thing, but no, you have your superstar running back in the game. One, two. All right. Yeah, so LaViscus gets us down, and we end up first and goal at the 5. Run a play incomplete, and I think the pass got picked to Agnew, but that got called back. And then you get down and try to, run down past the, to score, and you can't get in.
News Why flash. Do you even throw that pass?
Yeah, that's the one thing. Why throw the pass, one. And two, why are you running behind the right side of that line?
Yeah.
Why are we got a backup and a tackle that, hey, sorry, but everybody's been harping on him. Okay, so why are we running on the right side? Why are we even running on the right side? That's the second thing. So you have your best players not in the game. You're running on the right side. You're calling passes on first down or second down, whatever it was. So that's three things. Oh, but guess what? We're not done. Okay, so then you get the third and goal at like the 1.5 yard line or whatever it is. And you still run to the right side, okay, whatever it is. Then you get to 4th and 1, all right? So you're lined up two tight end under the gun or under center, thank you, all right? We at least got that right. Okay, you got the wrong running back in the game. The call is, let's say it's something, some number, belly, whatever, to the right. Behind the backup guard and the tackle on the side that's no good. Taylor, with your backup running back. And then guess what Tennessee does? They shift. Did you see that? Did you notice that?
And blew that entire right side of the line up.
Okay. So there's
like
a
bomb went off on the right side of the line.
And the reason why I wanted to talk about this here is because this right here tells me that they don't practice or work on red zone for nothing. And I mean nothing. Now, they might say, oh, we practice it. No, you don't, because you wouldn't screw this up. And I'll tell you why. One, all right, you don't have all those substitutions in the game unless you absolutely have to. The backup guard, we know why Cam was out, so that makes sense. Two, why are you calling a run to the right? All right, that's the second thing. With your backup running back. Yeah, he's Carlos Hyde. He's a backup, okay, so compared to what we have as a starter. So why wouldn't you run that to the left behind your contract tackle that's trying to prove a point, mm-hmm. behind your million-dollar guard who's been a Pro Bowler,
yep.
and you could get your Pro Bowl center involved.
Yep.
Why are we not running to the left? Okay, so we can, it's the short side of the field. I don't give a crap. We're not trying to run wide. We're trying to run straight.
Yes.
And then here's the last point, and this is where I can tell you for a fact that they aren't working on red zone. Experienced players, experienced quarterbacks, whatever, da 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 da. It's not about experience. When Trevor Lawrence hands that ball off, when he's under center, before he takes that snap to hand that ball off, he should have saw that coming. Now, I don't blame him. I blame coaches. Because if he saw that shift that Tennessee did, he doesn't audible. He doesn't check out of that play. He goes through the play just as it's been called. He just doesn't hand the ball off. He fakes the handoff, and he runs to the other side for the touchdown.
Pulls the old Peyton Manning.
That's exactly right. Peyton Manning, and don't tell me, it was Peyton Manning. Guess what? Peyton Manning has two left feet, and he couldn't run. He is nowhere near of the athletic ability that Trevor Lawrence is as far as running, okay? And he could do it. That's my point right there. They don't work on red zone, because if they worked on red zone, they would be able to understand and know, hey, Trevor, guess what? Before we do anything, guess what? If they shift in any way, don't even hand the ball off. Don't check out. Don't change anything. Just don't hand the ball off, and you take off running. And maybe you sneak out a tight end. You got three of them in the game. Maybe you sneak one out to say, hey, just in case if the run's not there, you got at least one route option. So you have options. That's poor coaching and poor preparation, because they don't do those little things. Remember, we talked about that. You and I, we mm-hmm. all three of us talked about that. The little things to make those guys be prepared on Sunday to be out there, to go out there and win football games.
That and another thing too is that, you know, they don't, at least on the offensive side, you know, we'll get to the defensive side, you know, after the break. But the offensive side, man, I just don't understand why, you know, you go away from feeding the ball to James Robinson. I really don't. I mean, the guy, you know, he averaged, you know, he had that one long 58-yard run, but, you know, I'm pretty sure that boosted it. But numbers are numbers. You know, as a, you know, for him, it was 8.3 yards per carry, I think 6.4 total. Why are they not running the ball more? You know, and I think the key to being successful is to getting the ball into the hands of James Robinson more. I think getting the ball, you know, on the ground for Trevor, and again, moving that pocket and getting him into any of those read option scenarios is going to be what the team is really going to really thrive off of. But, you know, your running back is your workhorse and can definitely be that workhorse. And you got to get this guy at least 20 to 25 carries a game. And, you know, not even Carlos Hyde is, you know, kind of is taking them, but he's taking the valuable carries. Like Carlos Hyde had 5 carries within the game. I mean, you give those to James Robinson, that's 23 carries right there. And within mm-hmm. that, those goal line situations, he gets in. And even if he, and then as far as your, you know, your point on coaching, if you're bringing Carlos Hyde in and with the substitutions and everything, you automatically know who's getting the ball. If you bring James Robinson in, you know, you may know he's going to get it there too. But then again, he could still be a valuable decoy that you have to account for. You know, because but again, that's coming with setting up a run. Should have handed off that ball, but I did listen to the radio this week and kind of heard some things, but it made sense that. And when I found out that Bevel was the offensive coordinator in the Super Bowl when Seattle could have handed the ball off the beast mode, but what they do?
Oh man,
it was slammed. That so was it all makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. That makes right sense. There, man, you don't get cute, okay? And then with Herb saying that you don't know what personnel, that's not what I bull, man, bull. That's a bunch of bull. Don't give me that crap, okay? Don't give me that crap. Oh, I don't get involved. Guess what? You're losing and you're 0-4. Get involved. Okay. You get 0-5
now.
0-5. Yeah. Well, at the time where you're sitting there, they're losing and you got your potential, you know, potential Pro Bowl running back, because I think he's that good to be a Pro Bowler, sitting on the sidelines, and you're letting Carlos Hyde, you know, the pride of Ohio State, or however you want to put that, in the game when you're down. It just doesn't make any sense. So they need to get it together from a coaching standpoint. I mean, look what happened. We lost our starting center. Okay, he's gone. He's out. So when you think about that, so now you got two offensive linemen out, one starting wide receiver out. You've got a young quarterback that is looking for some type of help. That's really, to be honest with you, it's amazing that he's playing this well with such kind of poor choices around him as far as, you know, situational football. And we try not to get too much into the X's and O's when we talk, but situational football is so critical because these guys can already play. They're in the league. They can play. I've said this multiple times before. They've been playing since they were little kids. They know they're the best. But when you have coaches that don't know how to put them in the right situations to maximize on their potential, it makes them look real bad. And that's what we're getting at. So, but man, it is just one of those things where you take a look at this game at Tennessee and you say to yourself, man, how did we hold on? Yeah. How did we hold on?
Well, I think it's because, you know, with this team, they right now, they have to play a perfect game. Perfect game meaning that everyone has to be on their, you know what, at all times in order for them to even become productive or really within stay within it. I mean, 37-19, but if you actually watch the game, it was a pretty close battle, you know, the entire way. There was a couple questionable plays, you know, that the refs did. You know, in my opinion, I feel like, and I'm not a conspiracy theory about the refs, you know, but as far as like the team goes, you got to play the perfect game, meaning that you got to play, you know, clean football and not leave any doubt or not leave any human error, you know, into something like that. So as far as, you know, them goes, giving that Dan Arnold pass, that was an incomplete pass. That's an incomplete pass in 99.9% of NFL games. He didn't make the football move. He turned around. Next thing you know, they're down 7-0 with 14 minutes to go in the first quarter. So it's like already before you even gotten your crappy popcorn, you know, from the concession stand, they're already down 7-0. And then the pass interference as far as from Clay Brooks, I mean, you know, the Jags just aren't going to get those calls right now. They're not a winning football team. They're not going to get those calls. They're not making the plays in order to get those calls either. So, I mean, the 14-point swing, you know, by the refs, man, you go ahead and take that away. I mean, you know, you got a 13-19 ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Just if you take those two key plays away. I don't think that the Jags, as far as the players goes and, you know, as far as some of the team stats goes, it on paper, again, it's misleading. I mean, Derrick Henry's going to get his, you know, he's going to – that he's just a unbelievable football player right now in a pass-happy league. So, of course, he's going to get his 130 for three touchdowns. They bottled him up pretty much a majority of the game. You know, I think that, you know, Tannehill – had a very lackluster game too, 14 for 22, 197. So, I mean, the defense was there, but I mean, it's those critical situational plays that you're talking about, you know, not being able to get off the field on third down, you know, not really being able to, you know, just control the game and control the line of scrimmage. And I think the thing about it is too, is on paper in all statistical quarter or all the statistical categories, excuse me, they led. And the difference is the plays that you can't control. You know, the plays are that call with Dan Arnold and the pass interference. Those two plays right along right there truly, I believe, led to the Jags losing this game.
I agree with you, man. I agree with you, and it's just a shame that we can't, man. We have Titans hate week for a reason around here, and it just does not work out for us.
Yeah, I mean, it never works out. I mean, of course, we consistently, you know, lose to the Titans. So, I mean, it sucks. But man, the only thing that can really kind of change this, and I think from Cincinnati, no, they played the second game was the Broncos, right? So it went Houston, then it went the Broncos. Then the third game was the Cardinals. I think they've been playing solid football since Arizona.
Yeah.
They've been playing solid. They've been playing really solid football for since Arizona. Do you agree?
Yeah. No, I do agree. I do agree, especially the defense, which we'll get to here in a second.
But I think the run defense has been great. I think the, you know, some of the pass plays and some of the things they do. But I just – the coaching, man, I just don't understand. How do you not get the ball into these playmakers' hands more? Like, that's got to be the key, right? Getting, at least from an offensive side of the thing, like, how are you not getting the ball to Vishka more? How are you not getting the ball to James Robinson more? Like, I don't get it. Like, how are you not being creative in getting those things? I know ETN, whatever plans they have for him, but does ETN really make this offense that much better?
They wouldn't figure out how to get him the ball. And that could have been him. We could have been running some toss sweep on fourth down or some pitch out or something that him and Trevor did together at Clemson. They would have tried to run some college tricks, but oh man, we've harped on this enough. We're going to step away for a second. We'll be right back.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, so let's switch on over to the defensive side of the ball and kind of really see, where I think a lot of the worries from the Jags are coming from. And I guess we can take it by level. But, I mean, Smoot's been playing some good football these last couple of games, man.
Great football. Awesome football. When you look at the defense and you really are saying to yourself, where are we going to find some bright spots? Dwayne Smoot is one of them. Obviously we want Josh Allen to play well, and he did play okay. Chaisson actually had a decent game. Chaisson had one sack and two tackles for loss. So that's what we want. We want our high draft picks, especially the ones we got for Jalen, to pan out. Okay. So far
I haven't.
Yeah. So that's what we want. Now, the issue is clearly the side, whichever Shaq Griffin is not playing. Yeah. We don't do enough to help out that side. Why? Because our safeties aren't that good. Well, I shouldn't say that.
It goes into what we were talking about the like coaching. They're not putting the best players on the field. The entirety of the draft and preseason. I mean, even up into this, we heard that, Cisco was such a great player. We heard about all these, just different attributes and all these other things like that. And so if he was such a good player, I know he's coming off of an injury, but he's such a good player, man. You got to think that he's got to be better than Wingard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wingard's been playing good football for Wingard.
Yeah.
He's been playing football, good football for him. He's not playing good NFL football. He's been playing good football for him, for his sake.
I thought Wingard would be on this team as a special teamer. I said, let him make the team. He'll be a special team whiz. You know why? Because he'll bring energy. Because that's what he does. He brings energy. He doesn't bring much else, but he does bring energy. And not having Cisco, and that really is a concern to me, because you really want to sit back and think about, okay, you drafted this kid high, in the higher rounds. Yeah, he had the ACL. He was a ball hawk. And the only way he can continue to learn how to be a ball hawk at the NFL level is to play. Okay, I guarantee he's one of those guys that needs to play. And we're losing anyway. So what difference does it make?
Yeah.
If you play him or not. That's what really, you sit back, oh, well, he's not ready. Well, then guess what? The guys you got back there, we're five games in, and they keep getting torched, okay? Torched. Your adjustments, and this is where I think the coaching gets really bad on the defensive side of football. Teams go into halftime and make adjustments. We'll travel back to the Cincinnati game. Cincinnati made adjustments in the second half. And those adjustments basically were probably written on their board is we're about to go out there and bust it, and that's pretty much what they did. Tennessee was the same thing, except for the fact you knew what was coming. You knew you were going to get a healthy dose of Derrick Henry. You knew you were going to get some play action. And you couldn't do anything to stop it. And because we don't have the talent. It's not about the talent. They weren't even in the right position.
The talent in the secondary, man, it's just it isn't good. Again, Shaq, if you got to give me an interception, man. This is the second pick that he's had his hands on and has been able to close the ball and bring it in. So yeah. I got to get a pick, and those are value. And then again, that goes back into what I was saying earlier. They got to play a perfect game to win a game. You shouldn't have to play a perfect game to win. People talk about ugly wins all the time. I would love an ugly win. But in the NFL, a W is a W, man.
Yeah.
And every team doesn't have to play perfect every Sunday to get a dub. The Jags do. They have to play a perfect game. I mean, they played a near perfect game, from the penalty perspective. They played a near perfect game as far as, you know, getting the pressures and getting Tennessee to punt. They played a near perfect game as far as clock management. But again, those two plays, and one was vital, it came on offense, and one was vital, it came on defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The Clay Brooks, the Clay Brooks pass interference was absolute baloney. No way that should have done it, but that kept them into the game. That kept their drive alive. And that's what it is, but that's a talent issue, man. I mean, the talent on there, and when you roll down the roster or and take a look at who the cornerbacks are, I mean, you've got Herndon, you've got Ford, you've got Shaq, you've got Chris, Clay Brooks, Rashawn Jenkins. You just got a bunch of guys back there, you know, minus Shaq. You just got a bunch of guys back there.
You got a bunch of Jags.
Yeah, you just got a bunch of guys back there. Nobody, you know, a bunch of guys that would not be there's not a secondary or a secondary player on our team that would be starting for another NFL team right now.
That's a deep.
That's true.
So
maybe, Shaq Griffin, minus Shaq, maybe for a team that's banged up. But as far as a starting opening day roster, everyone's out fresh. Everyone's out 100% right now. Only person that starts on this defense or in the secondary for another team is Shaquille Griffin. Dang. That's crazy. We just traded to Carolina got burnt by Amari Cooper, and Amari Cooper didn't even know who he was.
Yeah. I saw that. It's terrible, you know. They're going to correct that. Let's see if they can, you know, with the GM and all that. They're saying they're going to correct that, but that's going to take years to correct. It's not just an overnight fix.
So the general consensus is that people are saying that, oh, well, you need to give Urban and you need to give Balky, you know, time to get a draft. I would buy that. You know, dog crap is if they were actually competitive in the defense was actually competitive in the game. If the scheme, and it's not even a scheme thing, because, you know, Shaq is holding his own. It's just literally everyone else on the other side of the line on the other side of the field. They're just not good cornerbacks. I mean, Tyson Campbell, second round draft pick, not a good cornerback. Your second round draft pick should not be losing his job to Trey Herndon. I don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not a personal thing or anything else like that, but I'm just saying your second round pick needs to be contributing automatically right off the gate. And he's not.
When you spin it like that, you know, you really sit back and you look at it and you're like, geez. So if you're in a nickel, that's what you're in, you know, 75% of the time, you got four guys on defense that are going to, you know, that are liabilities. That are serious liabilities against, you know, average wide receivers or good wide receivers. I'm not saying none of these guys are average, but you look at some of the receivers that have really, you know, burnt us. And you say, well, why can't we, you know, why aren't we competing? Why aren't we winning one-on-ones? Why are we in, you know, different, you know, these coverages? It just, you know, now, in some of their defenses, they are having to cover for a while because we haven't been getting to the QB, and they need to figure out how to generate pressure. And that's the way you can help out your secondaries is generate some pass rush. But I don't see any kind of – they're not doing anything to rattle any QBs. I was watching
I'll probably look it up, but I don't know how many sacks they had on Sunday. Because I know that Tannehill, they had three.
I think they had three.
I thought they had four. Maybe three or four.
They had three.
Three. Okay.
Three.
And he is averaging getting sacked like eight times a game. Mm. So what does that tell you?
That we can't even Tennessee's offensive line is not that good this year. It's been documented. And
they lost it. And they had like 21 players on their injury report. They weren't a healthy team. You lost to a team that didn't have Julio wasn't playing. AJ Brown banged up. And again, this weekend coming up, like on Sunday, Devontae Parker, Mac Hollins, Albert Wilson, Jalen Waddle.
All wide receivers, people.
Yeah, that nobody knows. Yeah. and that nobody knows. And if they get, I mean, with Miami, the way their offense is, they run through Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, and Brian Flores is a Belichick disciple. So, you know what?
They're going to be well coached.
They're going to be well coached. They're going to grind the ball out. You're going to see heavy tight end from Gesicki. That's what the defense is going to be having to face. And I guarantee you that they make them look, I hope I'm wrong, but whoever's playing, whether it's Jacoby Brissett or Tua, I think it's going to be, they said Tua could be cleared to play, but I think it's going to be, I think Brissett plays. I don't see them, you know, trotting out Tua, immediately like that, but Jacoby, he's a Tyrod Taylor-ish player.
Yeah.
Who is not going to turn the ball over, but he's going to make sure he's putting the ball where it needs to be.
So we're going to be playing the Dolphins on Sunday, and in our unfortunate second home in London. And I say that unfortunate because I wish we weren't playing any games in London. We have to
especially,
win.
Especially an interstate team.
Yeah.
Yeah, before we get to the matchup, but yeah.
Oh man, so hold on a minute. We got a team 5 hours. We got two football teams, two NFL teams that are 5 hours away from each other, however you want to put it, that are going to mm-hmm. travel all the way across the pond just to play a football game.
Yeah,
NFL, y'all didn't think that through, did you? You didn't think that through at all.
Two interstate teams.
Oh my goodness. Literally. man, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I get maybe they're trying to, you know, the whole same time zone, same area, whatnot, because I know a lot of teams have complained, like if they took the Cardinals game and put that one out there, that would have been unfair to Arizona because they traveled from, you know, all the way from the western, you know, part of the country. But you can't, not that close, not at all.
Would you rather have a divisional game like Colts, Texans, Titans, one of those teams played over there, or would you want like the in-state, like the teams you really don't get to see a lot of?
Well, it's a good question. I don't know. Because you have to look at the schedule and just see how it shakes out. Like, for instance, what we have Buffalo this year, right?
Yeah, after the bye.
After the bye. And that's, where's that game? That game's up there, right?
No, it's here.
Okay. It's here. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Buffalo travels well. So, and, you know, they have a good fan base. But maybe they're on the East Coast, so maybe you could have had that game.
Yeah,
it really just depends. It really depends. But the two teams from the same state, that's kind of weird, but they've done weirder things with the schedule and the Jags, so who knows. But, yeah, the Dolphins, man, that's a game we got to win. It's a game we have to win regardless of who plays QB for them, who lines up on defense. We got a pretty good secondary. They've got some decent corners.
Yo, yeah. Their secondary is – you want to watch a good secondary on Sunday, watch theirs.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Trevor gets picked off if he gets fooled a couple times in this one. The stats he put up over the last 2 weeks have been really good, and this game could be a little bit ugly if he doesn't watch it. And the way we can counter that – Bevel, Herbs, is running the ball and running it till Miami is just sick of us running it. Yeah. So that means Robinson gets 20-plus touches. And go ahead and give Hyde 5 to 10. But make sure Robinson gets his first and make sure Robinson is in the red zone. Call timeout for all I care. Even if it's 6 minutes into the first quarter, and you get to the red zone and Robinson's run four times. Call timeout and give him a breather. Then run it in. Oh, you don't waste timeout. To get this waste anyway. We lose them.
Yeah.
try anything.
Yeah.
So they're going to run. They need to run the football ahead a lot. And they need to really think about. I hope they're working on red zone because that's going to be very critical. When you have coaches that are as good as Flores, they're going to really pay attention to detail. He's going to know that they're weak in the red zone, so he's going to do things to exploit that if the Jags do get down into the red zone. Kicking game. We don't have one. And I'm sorry, I don't count punting as the kicking game, although it is kicking, and we can have
– Even though Cook is, like, the best punter in the NFL
punter league, right now. But I'm talking kicking game as in that can give us points, and we don't have one. So kicking game, we're already at a disadvantage.
I mean, both teams. I mean, Miami's 1-4. We're 0-5. It's just so hard for me to even just want to really take the Jags because I think that they've been in positions against teams that were that I thought they were going to be able to get a I thought the Houston game. I'll tell you, I thought that was going to be a W. I was uncertain. I mean, I said on the podcast that we wanted, Denver to win, but, I could have seen if the way that swings. But I was very certain about, I was very confident with Cincinnati. I was very confident with Tennessee just because of the injury report, but I shouldn't have been because we don't beat them. And, this one, man, I just really think that it's just tough. It's just tough because you got Xavier Howard, Byron Jones, two of the highest paid cornerbacks in the league. You got Devin McCourty, Jason McCourty, who is a veteran, free safety. There's not much that he hasn't seen at all. And he's from that Belichick, or he's from New England as well. So that Belichick disciple. So, man, it's tough. The only way the Jags even remotely make this a game is like you said, by running the ball. That's it. Yeah. That's the only way they make this a game. I don't know if Trevor has it in him yet to line up, four wide with these guys and with this back there. And all they need, and Miami could win this game off turnovers if that happens. They could win this game 17-0, off turnovers, just like that. So they got to run the ball, man.
Running is the key. I wish we had some form of a kicking game. And look, regardless of who they trot out there at quarterback, you got to put some pressure on the QB, whether if it's Brissett or Tua, and give your secondary a puncher's chance because they don't, we're not covering that well, especially on the back end opposite of Shaq Griffin. So just because the Dolphins are 1-4 doesn't mean they won't tear us up. Okay.
Yeah.
Because we're 0-5. Two, they're going to be mad because Brady just got through ripping them last Sunday. So they're going to come out ready to play. They don't want to get embarrassed on an international stage. And I hope our team has the same mentality. We got all thanks to some stuff that we don't want to talk about with the Redskins and the Raiders. Herbs's little story is gone. Okay. Yeah. So that's past us. All right. Focus on the Dolphins. And then Herbs, you can go to Ohio and do whatever you want to do during the bye week. Okay. And then
just be conscious of the video surveillance.
Yeah. Another thing too, man. I said it a couple times, man. If you're gonna do some crazy stuff like that, at least get you a decent camera phone. Like the track phones and the crickets and all that, man. You got to get you a decent camera phone. They got an Apple event coming up, or they just had one. So
I think there's another one coming up soon. I got an email about it the other day, but I think, man, if they got this is the last chance. I mean, what a good way to go into the bye, try to reset some things. If you handle the business, reset some things. You got Seattle, which is now looking a little bit more winnable-ish, depending on the outcome of this. So they're not really the giant that we thought we were going to have to face, but it's still a formidable opponent. But then the schedule gets tough, man. You got Buffalo coming. We got Indy. We got the Niners. We got the Falcons, Rams, Titans again, Texans again, Jets. I mean, that'll probably be your next chance to get a W. You know, within, you know, just basing it off the team that we've played and how we played against them so far in that first quarter. You know, you got Jets, Patriots. It doesn't look like it's going to get any easier for any teams, and especially since we're the cupcake right now, you know?
Yeah.
So there aren't any other, you know, teams that we can look forward to say maybe we can write it against them now. You know, we're the teams they are trying to write things against, and you don't want to be that.
No, you definitely don't want to be that. So, man, hey, let's just go get a W. Let's beat the Dolphins and move on. That's so all we
are
got.
Are you saying W?
Oh, am I saying W?
Yeah. It's so hard to say W, but it's so hard.
Good night. I want to because I know that we have the players capable of beating the Dolphins. I just don't know what Herbs is going to go out there and do as far as stupidity. Doing something dumb. It's so tough. It's so tough. But, hey, I'm a Jags fan, and I'm going to say that we're going to go out and get a W on Sunday. We're going to stop the streak at 20. We're going to stop it at 20.
Yo, so I'll leave it at this. If they lose, I'm going to pick them. They burn me this week. I will not pick them for the rest of the year. I swear. The next 10 games or 11 games, I'm still not used to that extra game. But, man, I don't know. You've got to ride it here. You know, you're used to London. Maybe, you know what? Maybe it's just they just got to get out of Jacksonville to get the W.
Shoot. If that's the case, man.
That's not the case. No, it's not.
Every which way you look at it, it just makes you want to put your head in your hands and you just are like, why?
Yeah.
Why? But yeah, no, that's all the time we got today, man. We really appreciate everyone out there listening to the pod. Please leave us a 5-star review if you like us. Follow us back on Twitter. Say hello to Corey and at the hot dog if you see him eating a hot dog at a gate station. I still don't understand what he was doing there at 6 a.m. looking at the hot dogs. But it is what it is. But hey. No, we appreciate everyone listening, supporting us, and we'll talk to you all real soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.